Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. What's left of this Tuesday morning? Neglected to do this in the last segment. We'll do it real quick. Tomorrow on the program, Joey Clark, we have confirmed, and a couple other guests will get confirmed in due course over the next 24 hours. But however, joining us now on the line, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and we do this every Tuesday about this time. John Wall is with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thank you for making time. We always appreciate your time. Yesterday we got news. Georgia is looking at eradicating its income tax. Now, look, I know these things aren't done overnight, and there's a lot of things that have to be done to kind of move in that direction. But, you know, the thing that's kind of, it's maybe a wake-up call for Alabama if every state, you know, within the next decade or so is winding down their income tax and Alabama's the last one, that's not a good look.
Look, I agree completely. I've actually been a long-time supporter of phasing out income tax. I mean, to be honest, both at the state level, but also even the national level. You know, I think it's a regressive tax. It's a tax that punishes people for working harder. And that's not what you want. You know, there's that old quote from Reagan that what you subsidize, you get more of, and what you tax, you get less of. So we want to encourage productivity. We want to encourage growth and hard work and people making income. And I just think there's better ways to fund the government than through an income tax system. With that in mind, you bring up a great point that there are states all around. You know, Florida already doesn't have an income tax. Tennessee doesn't have an income tax. Mississippi is working on phasing theirs out. Now Georgia's bringing it up. North Carolina has been working for the last several years to phase theirs down. And I think this all goes back to not only a focus for the best way and the best, most free market way for government to receive funds, but it also goes back that if we don't take this seriously, and if the state of Alabama doesn't look at our long-term tax structure and working on facing up the income tax, I think it's going to put us at a disadvantage nationally when you're looking at recruiting new businesses to Alabama, economic growth, and creating a business-friendly environment, both for larger companies, but also for smaller entrepreneurs here in the state.
Well, and let's talk about this because, you know, you look at these economic incentives packages that the state hands out, and they will tell you, well, we don't like doing this, but listen, Jeff, it's just a reality. It's just how you do business. Every other state's doing it. We got to do it too. Well, it'd be interesting to see if that same philosophy is applicable to the income tax situation.
I mean, it would make sense, right? Like, look, if other states are recognizing the benefit of phasing out the income tax so they can increase growth, certainly Alabama has to look at that. And like I said, we're going to be at a disadvantage.
Well, it'll be, how much traction does this get? The problem to me, Chairman, though, and you know this as well as anybody, phasing this out is just not easy. Like, I don't know what the circumstances are in other states for doing something like this, but at least in Alabama, it takes sort of a, it's going to take changes to the Constitution, perhaps. And, you know, once you, it's going to take 3/5 of the legislature. It's the same discussion we have with gambling. Getting to a place, and I mean, you're in the hallways and you know how entrenched, we'll call them special interest or whatever you want to call them, are in that building. They're not going to go with this this philosophy very easily.
Sure. Well, no, look, and it's because they're afraid of losing funding, right? Like, this goes back, I wrote a, years ago, I was working, I was opposing a tax increase on a local referendum, and I wrote an op-ed that really dove into this, and it's the very nature of government. You know, we as conservative Republicans often talk about, you know, we believe in limited government. We believe this, and we talk about it, right? But at the end of the day, do we really internalize it? And I say that because it doesn't matter whether government is Republican, Democrat. It doesn't matter who's in control. Government by nature always has a self-interest in growing. Growing its size, growing revenue, increasing its power, increased regulations. It's just the nature of government. And it's why our founding fathers put so many checks and balances into our governmental systems and made it so hard to pass legislation. It was not supposed to be easy. It was supposed to be hard. And I think, to be honest, the flaw with our current tax structure is it's not, you know, how do we change it now? It's the fact that we let ourselves get here. And I think we have to learn how to say no. No to bad policy, no to bad things coming through the legislature. And then now that we have them, though, having the courage and the boldness to make those changes. And I say, look, there are areas. I'm obviously a big fan of use taxes, things where you pay taxes if you use them. You know, sales tax, even like gas taxes. Like gas taxes should go to pay for the roads because if you're using gas, you're going to be on the roads, you should pay for that. And there's so many areas where I think we can look at smart ways to phase this out over a long period of time. And it will take time. That's okay. You know, look at Mississippi's plan. It's a 10-year plan. But I think it's something that is definitely worth bringing to the table here in Alabama. Start the conversation. Start looking at it. It should be a long process. It should be a process that's very well thought through. But I think we have a chance with other states moving to try to not just move in that direction, but let's escalate it. Let's, instead of following everybody, let's maybe even get in front of the curve on some of these important issues.
Well, and that's just the thing. Look, let's look at the status quo here. Look, we have low property taxes. We have a middle of the road income tax relative to other states, and we have high sales taxes, high, you know, gas taxes, or, you know, so those are use taxes. And not everybody owns property. Now, you know, lawmakers will be like, well, you know, Jeff, we are one of the lowest tax state, lowest tax burdened states in the country. That's what they always say. But you don't really get to, you don't get to appreciate it if you don't own property. And not everybody owns property. People live in apartments or whatever, you know. But everybody has to engage in commerce, whatever that may be. You go to the store to buy stuff. That's something that's universal. Not everybody works. You know, we have a low workforce participation rate in Alabama. If you start looking at these forms of taxation, I mean, then the use tax, as you say it, I mean, we're kind of leading the way. But I mean, is that good enough?
Well, I'm going to use Tennessee as an example because I think it's a fascinating one because Tennessee does not have a state income tax. They also don't have a state property tax. And yet they're able to fund their state government without much higher of a sales tax either. Their sales tax is fairly close to Alabama. I think maybe 1% or 2% more. And yet they're able to fund their state government through other avenues and being fiscally responsible. And I think that's the thing to look at. I was actually studying North Carolina's model as they're phasing out their income tax and how they've actually been able to, through increased economic growth, have actually not had to replace their phasing out of the income tax with a lot of other taxes. Because as the business climate grows, as the economy grows and there's more money in the private sector, there's naturally more money spent on different items and different things that creates a higher tax revenue. And so I think there are some really interesting studies out there. I think North Carolina is a great example of a direction that, you know, Alabama could head, doing it slowly, waiting for the natural growth that will come with phasing out the income tax and then an increased tax structure, a tax base, and doing it the right way, doing it, letting the organic process happen, doing it the right way, letting the free market work, and slowly switching over to other models and other revenue that I think it can work. And look, I know that I'm a bit of a pie in the sky kind of guy. I believe there's always a path to victory. I think good policy has real world consequences. It does trickle down, and these things can be done where we can put taxpayers first. We can provide real relief and we can at the same time streamline government without losing services, streamline government, and find a way to make this work.
Joined by John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, here on the program. We're in the midst of an election cycle. I guess I should ask you first, as we do every week, your political future. Have you made any determinations there yet?
I thought I was going to escape that question this week.
Well,
no, I have not. I'm committed to staying for the party has our summer meeting, the summer dinner coming up, August 1st and 2nd. Michael Watley's coming into town. I wish you, Chairman of the RNC, I think that's going to be a great event. I'm going to put in a shameless plug here to your listeners. Folks should come see him. Like, it's amazing what he's done with the grassroots at the national level with the RNC. But I'm committed to making sure I get through that meeting, getting the party squared away before I make a final decision.
Well, and now we're in kind of election cycle mania here, and announcements, and they've cooled off. And now, I hear this from some of my colleagues in media, Todd Stacey and others, like, we're really getting earlier and earlier, and these campaigns are coming together earlier and earlier in the cycle, in some cases before the fundraising deadlines
window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, do you see that as a good thing necessarily?
I don't. And I say that because I think what it creates is voter fatigue. It seems like we just got past the 2024 cycle and there's already people, jumping the gun and getting out there for the 26 cycle. On the other hand, look, that's a candidate's decision. Especially with a lower name ID race where candidates feel the need to get an early fill their name ID. I respect that. I can, and it takes time to get your message out to people across the state. And so I think that's just the reality of the political cycle we live in, where people feel the need to get out there early. I personally feel like the real campaign season is going to start this fall, right? Like once schools start getting back in, people like settle, get past the summer, hectic schedules and programs and vacations, the kind of things are going to settle back down after, end of August, beginning of September. And I think that's when the campaign cycle will truly start in earnest for the cycle.
Well, and, once we get these municipal elections out of the way, I suspect you're right. Especially with a lot of these consultants really kind of dealing with August and what happens there. But once that is put to bed and the runoffs are over, that's when I think, you'll really start to see a lot more movement, not just the top of the ballot. Well, the top of the ballot seems to kind of already
have it's been amazing.
Predetermined. Yeah, but
I was gonna say Tommy Tuberville is a case study in how you clear a field.
I mean that seems like where we're headed. If I'm telling what to watch for, wait till after the municipal elections get settled.
I think you're right. Look, and I think there's going to be another round. We've got the U.S. Senate race at the open seat. I would not surprise to see another candidate or two getting that. And then down ballot too. Like we kind of had that early announcement, and I think you'll see another wave here over the next month of candidates starting to get in, and the race is kind of getting solidified and we'll know the feel. I feel like we have a pretty idea of the serious candidates by the end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's talk about your role as real quick, Alabama Public Library Service, which is sort of tangentially related, at least in my municipality of Fairhope, to what's going on with the Fairhope Library. But it does seem like the moves are starting to, the reality is setting in, and really what the Alabama Public Library Service will tolerate and what they won't, and sort of a policy going forward.
Yeah, no, and look, I'm a little confused why there is any question surrounding this. I have been very, very plain from the very beginning. The APLS board is going to follow state code. We are going to make sure that any sexually explicit content in children's sections are removed. Period. There are no loopholes. There are no gray areas. And we've been very open, very transparent, very clear with not just Fairhope, but libraries across the state. And, you know, this is their decision. You know, I have people, you know, calling on, you know, saying the state board needs to reinstate Fairhope's funding. I'm like, look, this is a Fairhope's hands. Their funding can be reinstated tomorrow. It is up to them whether they do or do not move this stuff out of the Hampton Children's sections. They hold their own destiny. We're just waiting for them to finish their process. And then we will look over the books they have in there, see if there's sexually explicit content in. If there is, they will not get state funding back. If there is no sexually explicit content, they will get their state funding back.
Well, let's talk about it like this. This administrative law guidelines, you know, regulations, whatever you want to call them. Is there a point at which you've done all you could do and these things remain on the shelf? Do you think that warrants legislative action?
You know, that's a really good question. And I have very much been a supporter of saying, you know, this is why state agencies exist. You know, let the APLS board, you know, manage these. And for the most part, that has worked very well. You know, this is I think when it comes to this, though, this is going to become a local issue because the city of Fairhope, that's really where the power should lie here. It should lie with those who are paying for the material. Now, at the state level, we've been very clear. The state is not going to buy in if this content is left in children's sections. And so they will do state funding. The taxpayers at Alabama don't want it in our libraries, and the state board is going to stand up for that. So I think that's where that state funding will be pulled. The question then becomes, and this is where we need true, strong leadership at the local level. If the Fairhope City Council was taking that same stand, we would not have a problem right now. And I think that's what needs to happen here. We need to be very clear that the taxpayers who are paying for this should be the ones in control. And so I would love to see this handled at the city level. I think that's where it belongs. That would be the best case scenario. I believe in government that, you know, governs locally. You know, the closer you can get it to the citizens, the better. So I would like to see the city of Fairhope take a stand on this.
Well, we're watching it, especially with the municipal elections coming up soon. Chairman, folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party, the summer dinner, or anything else, how can they do so?
Well, we always like to stay engaged. We're on all social, major social media at Alabama Republican Party. And then, of course, our website where tickets are live right now for that summer dinner is algop.org.
Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wally. Gentlemen. Chairman, thanks again.
Always good to be on the show.
All right, let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm Bill Wiles, WKRG News 5.